Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
How about that for a changeover, by God? 20 seconds. Huh? Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com, on the heels of a Mariner victory. We haven't been able to say that very many times this year.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Rejoice, everybody. Feel the joy that comes out of a Mariners win. Just makes the day off tomorrow for them that much better. They don't have to sit there and stew on another loss. So we will get into all the details of that. Our buddy Ryan Roland Smith will join us shortly. We will talk to him, get a little take from him on the road trip that just wrapped up. Mariners will begin a series with the Cubs starting on Friday at T-Mobile Park. So that'll be cool. And they go into it with a win, Dave. I think that can't be undersold for a team that's been struggling the way that they have been.
Yeah, that was really nice. A quick story. I was driving in when Polanco made the catch, but I didn't hear the catch because I went under an underpass over by UW. And so it's like, he's hit to right center, whatever Rick was saying, much more articulately than I am.
He sounded just like him.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then all of a sudden I hit the underpass and I'm like, I couldn't hear anything. I didn't know if he dropped it. I didn't know what happened. And then I come out the other side and there's Rick Riz saying, holy smokes. So awesome catch by Polanco. But It was a little dicey there.
It was very dicey. Yeah. We'll definitely get into all of the particulars of that. The phone lines. Text line is there for you. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll come back with Ryan Roland Smith. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Seattle Sports. 710 AM on your radio. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
I like this song.
This is Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
These guys are good. They're going to be playing at Climate Pledge, I think.
August? Something like that?
Going to go see them there. It's going to be good.
Sweet.
It's going to be good. Look at everybody's in a good mood. That's what the Mariners can do for everybody. They can put everybody in a good mood or in a bad mood. That was when we were preparing for the worst because the offense wasn't doing much. They weren't coming to life the way you'd hoped behind a gem being thrown by Logan Gilbert. And you're just looking at it going, really? Are they going to make him lean on one run given up? And he's going to lose the game because of that? It felt like it was headed that way with all... Kikuchi in this game reached his season high in strikeouts with 3 2/3 innings pitched.
Hmm.
what
does that say?
It says they were striking out a bunch really early. I think the number was 8 or 9 at that particular moment. In Goldie or whoever was on, I don't even remember. It's a blur. But they were like, "Well, Kikuchi just reached a season high strikeouts here," and I'm looking, going, "The fourth inning's not over.
No,
the fourth."
Well, I mean, maybe Kikuchi sucks. You know, we had him here. That could indicate that. No, but...
You had 9 Ks on the day. I mean, the Mariners struck out 15 times today, so it felt like, okay, are we going to be talking about a sweep and how dreadful everything is? And
well, you know, you mentioned earlier, we were talking about it in the pit, that, the sports pit there, that the Dodgers have played a couple more games, but they lead the league in strikeouts and... The Mariners are second. What's the updated number? You said 15 today. Was it like 138 that we were looking at?
Yeah.
So 153, something like that.
The Dodgers are the leader at like 150. I'll look up the total numbers. But they have also played 2 more games.
They played 2 more games, and they hit bombs for power. And
they score
like that.
A lot more than the Mariners do. It was just... Listen, there's no two ways around. This win is awesome, and this is not to focus on the negative. And hopefully this is the beginning. This is where they can relax. First time this season they put up more than 5 runs. So that they were the only team in baseball that hadn't done that yet.
Yeah.
The A's had already done that. The teams you think are dreck had already done that, and the Mariners had not.
Their catcher hit 3 home runs the other day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough, rocky start, to say the very least. And this certainly doesn't fix everything, but man, at least you're sitting on this. They don't play tomorrow, so we're not sitting on a series sweep. We're not leaving Toronto on another disappointing loss. And, you know, especially, again, when your pitcher goes out there and gives you every opportunity to win. Logan Gilbert did exactly what they needed him to do today. He goes 7 2/3, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. So you desperately needed that. And then you had Munoz and you had Stanek come out there and lock it down. And your pitching was phenomenal today. You owed it as an offense to back that up, make that stand up. And they did. It took a while, but they got it done. They got it done. And Cal Raleigh, who just owns Toronto in Toronto, it's just a homeward putt. The guy hits home runs there. What is it, 9 home runs in 15 regular season games?
Yeah.
He just, if we were joking in there, like if and when he becomes a free agent, Toronto Blue Jays should back up the Brinks truck to his front door and say, "You're not going anywhere but here." Mm-hmm. This is 81 home games a year. You'll hit 40 home runs at home. I mean, it's amazing what he does there. But he you know, got things going, and that was crucial.
That or they should somehow mess with his visa so he can't get into the country. Yeah, and he had one of his, it was a Cal Raleigh interview on Root Sports afterwards. I can't remember who was interviewing, but he was exciting. Yeah, it's a good hit. Got a good swing on it.
Yeah, squared it up. It's
got the
cool
barrel to it.
Yeah.
we love that about Cal.
So yeah, the updated numbers, Mariners 138 strikeouts. Dodgers are in first place. Again, they've played 2 more games than the Mariners. They're at 153. And you just look at, these are the updated numbers after today. They are 26th in batting average. Just looking at this Mariners offense, 207. They're 28th in on-base percentage. They are 28th in slug. They're 29th in OPS. They are 16th in walks. So they're almost middle of the pack. 24th in runs scored and 20th in hits.
Yeah.
And I've told you that I've seen, and you guys can text in on this, and we'll talk to Ryan about this as well, but, you know, social media service needs to go. This is clearly, he's not getting these guys to perform. And you know, they've struggled in every category. They've struggled. These are just the offensive numbers, but they've struggled defensively. They've struggled with their pitching. They've struggled offensively. So Is this a coaching thing? Is it all service, or do we blame the hitting? Do we blame Brent Brown, Jarrett DeHart? You know, you got DeHart, you got Brown as your offensive coordinator. They're in charge of the hitting. Everybody loves Perry Hill. All of a sudden, is he bad at what he does? Do we blame Perry Hill because the defense has been terrible?
Yeah, they've had lots of errors.
Do we blame Pete Woodworth for the pitching? The every other start is, you know, Kirby's great. Then his last two are dreadful. Luis Castillo has not been good this year. Is that his fault? Or at some point do we go, hey, these guys' career numbers tell a different story. They're all decidedly better than what they're putting out there on the field. And the majority of this is incumbent upon them to get it done. I mean, what's the answer? Because some people will rip service, he's terrible, but in the same breath, talk about this is a terrible team, there's no talent. I'm like, okay, so you're mad that he's not doing more with no talent.
Yeah.
And you can't have it both ways.
Well, I just think if you're on social, that's the thing about social media, which I don't mean to rail against it. I mean, there's plenty of good that happens, but like mostly it allows people who are tragically unqualified to talk about certain topics and they get a voice. And so, yeah, it's ridiculous with Scott Service. And it's funny, I also wonder about the age, because the older I get, and since, you know, I've been, you know, a veteran of, you know, probably since age 35 or 40, I'm on the coach's side more. Mm-hmm. Because you just get the perspective, like, I can only coach him up so much, and I can only say so many things. They have to go hit the ball. They have to go.
You can't hit and pitch for him.
Yeah. And look, Scott's a great coach. And, you know, he was close to being manager of the year a couple of years ago. And
two times.
Yeah.
Two-time finalist.
That's right. But he was really close a couple of years ago, right?
He was in the final three two times. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think it's below board. You should be able to criticize whatever you want. If you think he's not good, say it. But you can't say, well, this team stinks, they have got no talent, and at the same time be mad at the manager for not doing more with what you perceive to be no talent. How is he supposed to do? You're telling me they're not good, yet he should be doing more with this team that's not good.
So you can't have it both ways.
Exactly. So I'm wondering what it is he should do that he hasn't. He's messed with the lineup. He's put guys in different spots. He's, you know, does he light them up publicly in the press? Does he yell at them behind closed doors? Does he yell at his coaches? I mean, I don't know what the answer is. And I don't, maybe something happened before today's game. I don't know. Maybe he yelled at him in the dugout during the game. Who knows what happened? But hopefully this is the beginning. This is the pressure coming off. We finally put up some runs. We backed up our pitcher. And, you know, we'll see what they do on Friday after the day off. But Ryan Roland-Smith, he's been in a few clubhouses. He's been on some struggling teams before. We'll talk to him about that and everything else going on with his team. He's going to join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily.
I actually talked about it on You Betcha on the podcast.
He is an unrivaled source of baseball knowledge.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
A guy who always has your back.
Pants back on, try and make the uniform look sweet in a split second. Come out, and I'm trying to open the door. I'm like, what the? And I said, listen, buddy, put your babysitting shoes on because Dad's going out for Father's Day. You got to watch Top Gun.
Ryan Roland Smith, every week with Wyman and Bob.
That's the open right there.
That is the open right there, by God. We love talking to this guy, especially after a win. Thank goodness. Yes. Thank goodness. We were going to demand answers, but we get a bit of a reprieve joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline is our guy, Ryan Roland Smith. How are you, man?
I'm good. You can still demand answers, too, man. I mean, there's still a lot of things they need to clean up, but I got to say, winning today is huge. Before they get on that five-hour flight back to the West Coast, man, what a crazy tough road trip, that is for sure.
Yeah, the road trip as a whole, if you're being honest, it was terrible. It was not a good road trip at all. I'm just glad it ended on a good note, and maybe it carries over. But I got to ask you about what Dave and I were just talking about in the previous segment, and that is every aspect of the game has struggled. Their defense has struggled. Their pitching has struggled. Their hitting has struggled. And you're on social media. I'm on social media, Ryan. You see it. Oh, service, he stinks. Get rid of him. He clearly doesn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, and then you look at their previous tweets that they've sent you, and they're the same people saying, this team has no talent, and they went out and got bums, and these guys can't play. And I'm going, all right, well, which is true? Is it Service is underperforming with the talent that he's got, or it's not a talented team, yet you still expect him to achieve great things with no talent? It doesn't, you know, should we be looking at the position coach? Should we look at Perry Hill? The defense has been bad. I love Perry Hill. Is he a problem all of a sudden? Is Brant Brown and Jarrett DeHart the problem with the hitting? Is Pete Woodworth the problem with the pitching? I mean, it's not, Service is the easy finger to point at, but I don't really get the connection if you think the team is just not very good. What is he supposed to do?
Yeah, I think that, you know, put the coaches aside. I'm not looking at this going, oh, yeah, coaches point the finger. I mean, I'm looking at the players. I guarantee you they'd be the first to tell you, yeah, we're gonna step up a little bit better. And I think, too, we talked about this last time I was on the radio, which I was shocked about. 8 players from last year's opening day roster. So brand-new group. You got a sprinkle in some guys trying to prove – some new guys trying to prove – what they're about to bring. You got a couple of the guys who are trying to outdo some of the performance they did last year. You've got a situation where they are extremely well aware that the big fix from last year is the strikeout numbers. So there's a lot of this pressure happening right now. It gets magnified because of the time of the year, that is for sure. But the biggest surprise to me is the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about the numbers-wise. I'm talking, like, I'll use George Kirby as an example. Yesterday, and this is what gets me, and this is a little baffling to me. Like, yesterday, for example, right, so 4 of the 8 hits he gave up with 2 strikes. Now, usually when he struggles, which he did against the Cleveland Guardians, and you made a comment after that start saying, oh, it's not a real good matchup for me, which is a bit of a shocker with me listening to him say that, because he's usually very sure of himself. And then he goes out yesterday, gets the 2 strikes with ease, and then just middle of the plate. And that's a bit of a shocker to me. That was a little bit of a concern. I'm like, wow. The night prior to that, you saw the same thing with Luis Castillo. And today I was just thinking, man, like, I looked at some numbers, right? The Blue Jays were hitting, and this is crazy. By the way, when guys get 2 strikes, I'm telling you, like, they turn into bad hitters. Like, in other words, like, the MLB average with 2 strikes is like, you know, 160, 170. The Blue Jays were hitting against the Mariners like 320 with 2 strikes and slugging like 500. That's insane, especially against George Kirby and Luis Castillo. So I think that you can talk about the offense and guys putting pressure and, you know, pressing a ton. Scott Service said they were able to take a breath at that point when they finally put some runs away. That tells you everything you need to hear about what's happened in the dugout. But the foundation, when you're playing defense, and you're watching George Kirby just whack, give it up, and that body language he gets when he gets frustrated. Your boy Luis Castillo, who's supposed to just dominate, it sends a ripple effect. That's that foundation, and they haven't found that groove Until today, hopefully Logan Gilbert, this is a changing trend. But that's been the biggest shocker to me, has been the starting pitching. And it falls on the players. Just back to the everyone like, oh, yeah, Scott Servais or the coaches. No, no, no. It falls on the players, and they will be the first to tell you that as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, we thought this rotation was just going to be – and look, it's early, right? But, I mean, they've underperformed. And I'm curious what you think about the stat FIP that basically, you know, takes out strikes, walks, home runs. Like
takes out hits, except for home runs.
Huh?
I don't even think it counts hits except for home runs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just home runs. Exactly.
And which stat are we talking about?
FIP. Field independent play?
Yeah.
Play, yeah. So, you know, and you look at George Kirby's numbers, it's like, and it's basically, it's not like a stat that you should just entirely put everything into, but it's something to consider. And if you look at some of the defense that was played behind him, his ERA in, you know, the game at Toronto, 6.91, and the FIP is 2.95. So it's just like, and that's what standard average defense. How much do you look at that? Because, yeah, it wasn't good. You know, if your eyes tell you that, you know, Kirby and that outing, especially against Cleveland, not good. But, you know, there was also a few, you know, errors behind him and things like that. And that kind of leads to him getting a little bit bunched up. And so, but I'm just curious, you know, if that's a stat that you put much credit into.
Well, I do in the right context, right? So using fielding independent pitching, that stat, when you dive into it, now I'm not going to sit here and nerd out about when you use it, when not to use it. But for example, like Emerson Hancock, right? That first outing he had, and you look at that, you're like, wow, pretty good. However, his FIP was quite high, right? And you look at George Kirby last night, man, there was a lot of contact against him, though. That's the thing. He was, look, if you're a guy who's punching tickets left, right, and center, and but you do give up the long ball, all right, Look at FIP, right? Fielding independent number. However, but when you're giving up, like I said, the contact, the type of contact, the harder contact he was giving up with the kind of counts he had. And what I mean by that is, like, putting the context, right? With two strikes, there is no way you should be giving up that quality of contact. And that's what I look at. That's the biggest thing I look at with George Kirby is when he has got counts, favorable counts in his advantage, what's he doing? And I just haven't seen the execution with two strikes from George Kirby. And again, look, this the bullpen. And I'm not talking about the I'm talking just the starters, by the way. Here, like the bullpen's been quite good, man. I mean, look, they've just been shorthanded. No Matt Brash, Santos came in, and he hasn't pitched yet. And you've got some unknowns in that bullpen, and they've been pretty good. They've had to carry a lot of innings as well, and they're still intact. And then Stanek, man, how big of a pickup he was. Yeah. But just that starting pitching, and I'm talking about, I'm not just singling out Luis Castillo, but George Kirby, but that's just an example recently, especially in this last series I'm talking about.
Hey, real quick, since we're on this route here, Ryan, who could win in a fight between you and Bill Krueger? Because I'm thinking Krueger, he's angry, and he's got the old man strength. And
there you go.
Then you've got youth, and what do you think?
Oh, that's a tough one. First of all, in someone who's been doing this a very long time, I know how this position is. I'm starting to learn more and more how this stuff works. I do have, by the way, fellas, this is breaking. I do have some big career announcement coming up in a couple of days. I can't tell you what it is, but I know how tough it is to do this gig. So I have a lot of respect for Bill Krueger. However, well, it depends on the discipline. I think I'd take him down. How about that?
Ryan's got youth. Talking,
are we talking just straight on the street? Are we talking boxing?
No, just fight to the death. I mean, yeah. One of you comes out of the ring.
So that's not maybe a weird not question a at all.
There's not even a ring. Just out on the street.
Well, I'm going to know who's asking. How'd this question come up? Was this one of your texters? I've been waiting to ask you for a while, and finally they've asked.
You know what? I got a tooth pulled yesterday, and as I came out of the fog of the anesthetic they gave me, that's when I thought of it. So there you go.
It's drug-induced.
Yeah, let's go on to the next topic.
So Ryan, I'm curious, just kind of back to Servais for a moment, and you're a guy that's been in these clubhouses for years, and you know every manager's different, but I'm kind of looking at this for the people that do blame Servais, and that's fine. People can blame point the finger wherever they want, What is he to do when a team is playing, performing the way the Mariners have? And again, it's all aspects. It's the hitting, it's the pitching, it's the defense, it's all that. Should he light them up behind closed doors? Should he call a team meeting? Should he light them up in public? He's shuffled the lineup. It's not like you got a superstar sitting on the bench that he's not playing. So considering who's there to work with, yeah. what recourse does he have? What have guys done in your time in the league when the team wasn't playing well that you thought was a good approach?
Well, it depends on the manager's personality. It depends on the way he communicates. So, like, if you have someone, and I've had this before, I've had managers, I have plenty of them, who they try and light up a team, but it's just not in their nature and it's really forced, you're not going to gain any respect. And when you're in a situation like this, right? Now, I know that one today. If you're in a situation where you are trying to force some kind of, call it lighting them up or, ripping someone, and it's not in your nature, you will lose that clubhouse. And this time of year, I know it's April. As you get to the end of April, that end of that first month, you cannot afford to lose that clubhouse. Now, we talked about all the new faces and all the new personalities in this clubhouse. Now, you think about Scott Servais, right? You go back into the history of the last couple of years. Now, he's had a rebuild, kind of like more of a rebuilding roster. He's had some unexpected success. He got beat out manager of the year. He's had to manage a certain type of bullpen. He knows these players and they know him, the core players, the guys who have been here for a while. But you've got some new players, right? You've got a Mitch Garver in that locker room. You've got, obviously Mitch Hanniger knows him from years past, but, you've got a Polanco. If you lose some of these new slash veterans at this time of year because you are trying to force a certain nature or a certain character of how you're going to try and think you're going to motivate them to do better, you're going to be in trouble, man, if it's forced. And I think for Scott Servais, he knows his style. He knows how to communicate. You have to communicate with guys individually. That, to me, is the biggest way to reach players, individual. Baseball, 26 players, 26 guys who are all individuals, man. It's not like football, it's where you have to communicate with each other and be, quote-unquote, play like a team. Basketball, same way. Baseball is a bunch of individuals. I hate to say it, but when you have that locker room, you have a certain type of vibe and dynamic off the field. And I think with Scott Servais, it's really important. The best managers I've had are the ones that communicate individually, and they have to have the respect and the attention from those new veterans. And you cannot, at this point, you try and force something now, you will lose that clubhouse. It'll be bad for the next couple of months.
Well, speaking of that, Ryan, any examples of how Brant Brown, their supposed offensive coordinator, have you seen much of, any evidence there? What do you think about what that has produced, that addition, coaching-wise?
It's a great question because it's still super early. I look at Brant Brown, and I know he's titled his offensive coordinator, but I look at him as being that extra hitting, that angle or perspective next to JD, the other hitting coach. Tony Andrich, obviously, I'm guaranteed Tony Andrich is still flipping balls in the cage with some of the hitters alongside working with the bullpen guys as well. So I look at that, and it's not something where it's like, all right, let's focus on the offense, the fact it's struggling. And sorry, I'm just honking the horn. You can hear that.
I heard that slap of the horn there, and there's frustration.
Some clown on their phone. I should be on the segment What's Bugging Bob, but some clown on his phone in front of me. Let's go, mate. I got places to be. But I look at that and say you can't put this on Brant Brown. Okay, offensive coordination. What are you doing? Oh, guys aren't hitting, that's on you. I think this is more of him trying to get to know his hitters, being that extra voice, that extra perspective. I guarantee he's given a bunch of value to some of these hitters. It's just not, they just haven't, like I said, from a player standpoint, got to a place where they're performing at the way they can. And again, a lot of it's psychological more than it is physical, that's for sure. Or approach or hitting philosophy or any of that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it when things aren't going right, everybody's looking for where do I point? Who's at fault? And I'm looking at the players. When it's a collective It's the offense, the defense, the pitching. We're going, how about we point out the actual players, because their career numbers tell a different story than what's being put out there on the field. So, you know, these coaches, Service, DeHart, Brown, whoever, Perry Hill, they can't go out there and pitch and hit and field for you. You got to do it. And you're getting paid a lot of money to do it. So at some point, you got to point to the people that are right there in the middle of it. And again, hopefully tonight or the outcome of this game can lead to some momentum. Maybe it takes some of the pressure off. Do you buy into that? Does it carry over with the day off, or would they be better served if they had a game tomorrow coming off a win like this? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, it carries over. It stops these conversations that happen on the plane. For example, let's say that Polanco doesn't catch that ball, the ball drops in, right, and they lose again. Then it's venting, right? On the plane, you sit there, you chat to some dudes on the way home, and you want to vent. You want to try and come up with some sort of explanation. You mentioned pointing fingers. I think it comes down, and you guys know, it doesn't matter if you're playing baseball, football, in the office, your family. If things aren't going right in your life, you know, and I'm not trying to give you advice here, so yeah, but it's pointing the guy in the mirror. That's what you got to do and say, it's on me. What can I do? What am I doing? I'm hitting 150. You can sit here and I'm not saying the players are blaming anyone, but I guarantee you the players will be the first to tell you. They're going to look at themselves and say, all right, what can I do? What is it that I'm missing out on here? And they can't sit there and say, oh, hey, look, you know, the hitting coach didn't give me the best advice or whatever it may be. That's ridiculous. You do that, you're going to be out of the game real quick. And so they all know that. It's a good group, man. You talk to these guys, and they're very accountable. And that's what it comes down to. However, this speaking of this win today, it just blocks. It just doesn't allow the need for these conversations that go, oh, man, I'm on this team as a new player, right? I'm on this team. Things aren't working out. I'm not having any fun here. I'm going to start pointing fingers. Now, you have guys like that. They get figured out real quick. Hopefully, they get figured out real quick, and they don't stick around. But I don't think there's really anyone in this group that does that.
Hey, looking at Logan today, so was that something special? That do you see something different in him? Or is it just like, hey, he had a good day? I mean, there was a couple of pitches that it seems like, you know, Castillo, they got hit. His pitches didn't. Or is it something that you're seeing out of him that's different? Because every year Bob and I go, like, after, you know, 20 games, 40 games, 60 games, you start going, okay, who's the ace? And it kind of changes. Yeah, right. And Logan's kind of in that conversation. But what do you see from him so far?
I think today, one thing with Logan Gilbert being 6'6", he can, if he loses that slider, if it gets really horizontal, or, you know, loses the vertical, the movement, he can get into trouble. And I think today he had that. He felt really good about his slider, and he was able to throw it a ton. I mean, he threw that pitch a ton. 57% swing and miss on that pitch tells you all you need to know. So I think he's gotten ways where he can make that quick adjustment on that pitch as opposed to trying to take three innings to figure it out. The other thing is, too, hitters, and talking to guys who have faced Logan Gilbert, you know, everyone talks about, oh, yeah, man, it feels like it's right on top of you. But when you have that split in the back of your mind, righty and lefty, and you look at the usage and say, oh, man, he's starting to throw that split more to righties. You have that in the back of your mind. It just makes it that extra element of toughness to try and sit on a pitch. The Blue Jays, these last couple of nights, you watch them, they've eliminated pitches very well. For example, Luis Castillo that first night, no changeups. He threw eight of them. And so they're just like, all right, I can pick up that spin kind of easy on that slider because he's not throwing it that well. I'm just going to sit fastball, man. If I see something straight, he's not getting it to the top of the strike zone. It's 95. I'm crushing. And George Kirby last night, too. Two strikes. He was heavy fastballs, tons of foul balls because everything was in the strike zone, 26 of them. And so they're just hunting pitches middle of the plate. I think with Logan, when he throws that, he threw that split a ton, too. Let's not forget. When you have two pitches you have to protect against, man, it makes it tough, especially if a team like the Blue Jays, they swing a lot and they chase a lot. So I think that really worked in his favor.
Hey, getting back to Castillo for a moment, I'm curious what you've seen out of him. It's been a rough start. You look to his final two starts of last season were not good at all. And then you get into this season and the first three have not been great. And you can look at FIP and it paints a prettier picture. But if you're watching the game and seeing him leave things out over the middle of the plate, even Scott says it, he says it himself. He's not pitching like an ace. So the velocity's there. It doesn't look like there's fatigue or any kind of injury. So what is it you're seeing with him that's sort of been the story this year and maybe the last couple of starts from last season?
Well, I think that, and we're talking Luis Castillo, right? I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. The velocity is down a little bit. It is on all these pitches, by the way. It's down a little bit. You're seeing a little bit of, you can see, I always watch guys' body language when they throw a pitch, they miss a pitch. How frustrated that just tells you, it's like, oh man, I'm really trying and this is not happening, as opposed to, hey, miss a pitch. And they're just kind of like, oh, you know, whatever it is, because they kind of got to that where they wanted to throw it, or it feels right coming out of their hand. So there's that. The other part of this too, Luis Castillo, and I want to see this on the weekend, he's got to get to the top of the strike zone. Man, when he's 96, 97, and you can get up to the top of that strike zone, it just creates an extra eye level, especially that low three-quarter arm slot. He was not at the top of the strike zone at all against the Blue Jays. He just couldn't get to the top, whether or not he was trying or not. But we all know when he gets up there, and then he tunnels that changeup off of that fastball up in the zone. Good night. He's so good. I didn't see once where he got to the top of the zone, and that's a command thing. So he takes a little bit to get going. I get it. I think he's going to correct it. He's someone who's, you know, ears are open. I know that I spoke to Pete Woodworth the other day. He came on the podcast. So I throw that in there. I can't say that without laughing. I just think of Adam Ray. We had a great chat, and we talked about what's the process like after the start. And he goes, look, Luis Castillo, he's all ears, man. He's all ears, and he takes the info enough, but not too much. In other words, he knows exactly what he's got to do, how he feels. He doesn't try and overcorrect or doubt what he's doing. He just kind of takes it in and says, all right, yeah, okay, let's just go for that. And boom, it becomes one of his weapons. So I think he's going to be all right. He has had a stretch like this May last year, if you remember, in Boston. He even said, he goes, I hit rock bottom. And so, you know, he's prone to it, but he's going to be all right, I think.
Ryan, before I let you go, Shane in British Columbia said, favorite moment of the season so far, Ryan Roland Smith laying on the horn mid-segment like a snap throw to first base.
Hey, I will say, I'm not one to blast the horn if someone's not paying attention to a green light. However, I'm talking to you guys, I'm like, come on, man. And I'm thinking to myself, can I press mute on the phone for 2 seconds while I blast the horn? But I was like, you know what? You guys will appreciate it. So we're all good.
No way. We want it all. We want the whole experience, man.
It's great. It was great. It was perfect. Ryan, drive safely. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
See you. There's Ryan Roland Smith. I love that he cracks himself up when he says podcast.
Is that what that's about?
Yeah, because Adam Ray did his Ryan impression. He's like, George Kirby, listen to my podcast. George Kirby, and listen to my podcast. He just made fun of him pimping his podcast. So now he cracks up every time he says it. Oh, so good. All right. Our thanks to Ryan Roland Smith. If you didn't catch all of that, that conversation will be available on the podcast page at the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, click on our picture, and it'll be right there waiting for you. Make sure you click subscribe. We know that's the key to everything. Coming up, are Julio's slow starts becoming a concerning trend? We're going to get into that discussion and a few more in Best of the Rest. Coming your way with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.